This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.
Ukraine secures a Western defense pledge after NATO rebuffs its goal of quickly joining the alliance. Plus, a suspected Chinese hack of U.S. government emails, and Canadian officials cry foul over alleged election meddling by Beijing.
This story underscores concerns worldwide that China is trying to exert influence among its diaspora.
It's Wednesday, June 12th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. U.S. government emails have been hacked in a suspected Chinese espionage campaign. U.S. officials and researchers at Microsoft say the hackers breached accounts at more than a dozen organizations, including some government agencies, in a campaign targeting data at sensitive computer networks. China's U.S. embassy didn't respond to requests for comment. Though Beijing has denied hacking U.S. organizations and accused Washington and its allies of targeting Chinese networks. Microsoft said it notified customers impacted by the hack before going public with further details. This comes as senior Western intelligence officials are increasingly worried about the ability of Chinese hackers to pull off stealthy attacks that in some cases have been able to evade detection for years. After being snubbed in its push to join NATO yesterday, Ukraine today is expected to receive a defense pledge from Western countries. Leaders from the Group of Seven Nations are set to announce long-term security commitments for Ukraine, with a White House National Security Council official saying that support would help Ukraine to defend itself from future attack. The largely symbolic declaration comes as NATO leaders conclude a summit that disappointed Ukraine's leaders by not putting a timeline on the country's eventual membership in the alliance. However, speaking today beside Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg said the alliance had agreed to a range of measures that will bring Ukraine closer to NATO.
This is a strong, united message from allies on your path to NATO membership. We must ensure that when this war ends, there are credible arrangements in place for Ukraine's security, so that history does not repeat itself. I therefore welcome that many allies will today commit to providing long-term security assistance to Ukraine. This will help deter any future aggression from Russia after this war ends.
And new U.S. inflation data is due out today when the Labor Department releases its latest update on the Consumer Price Index at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Economics reporter Gwynne Gilford has a preview.
Economists expect that inflation continued to slow in June and that we'll see the Consumer Price Index rise around 3.1% year over year. And if that comes to pass, that'll be the lowest reading we've had since early 2021.
And while that's also way down compared to last June's 9.1% inflation peak, it is still above the Federal Reserve's 2% inflation target.
It's largely thought that the Fed is on track to raise rates when it meets later this month. And the June inflation report is probably not going to change things one way or another, in part because we've had some really strong readings of economic activity. In particular, the jobs report last week showed that the labor market's still very, very strong.
Coming up, Canada is confronting growing allegations of Chinese interference in its 2021 elections. We've got that story and more after the break.
The The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Allegations that China meddled in Canada's 2021 election are making headlines and roiling the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Reporter Paul Vieira covers Canada for The Wall Street Journal, and he joins me now from Ottawa, Ontario, with the latest on this story. Paul, for those of us who haven't been closely following recent revelations about alleged Chinese interference in Canadian politics, bring us up to speed, if you could. What exactly is being alleged here?
What is being alleged is that China did attempt to interfere in at least some parts of the country during the 2021 Canadian election. This story first emerged in February after a media report cited leaked intelligence in which national security officials said they suspected or concluded that there were efforts by China to interfere in the Canadian election. And then later, the former leader of the Conservative Party of Canada told lawmakers and told the Journal that he was told by spy agency officials that China did indeed try to thwart his efforts to win the 2021 election.
Okay, and what do we know about this alleged meddling? What form did it take? And who is behind these alleged actions?
The allegations indicate that agents for the Chinese Communist Party, or proxies for the party here in Canada, tried to influence the vote either through local Chinese language media or through messages on WeChat. And it's important to note that the Chinese embassy in Ottawa have denied all allegations of election interference.
And were China to be found to be behind this, Paul, is it clear what they might have stood to gain from this alleged meddling?
Officials have said there may have been attempts by China to influence voting in certain races in which candidates, particularly of the Conservative Party, have been more vocal in their criticism and opposition to China. A primary example was Kenny Chu, who lost re-election in a Vancouver suburb. There were messages circulated on WeChat regarding his campaign and the fact that he was critical of the Chinese Communist Party, and especially Mr. Chu's championing of a foreign agent registry, which would compel people working on behalf of foreign governments to register with the government.
All right, and so how are Canadian government officials, lawmakers responding to these allegations?
Yeah, initially the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, tried to play down concerns, saying that senior officials had briefed him that the 2021 election was carried out fair and square and that the results reflected the will of the people. As months have gone on, pressure from opposition politicians, from analysts who watch China, from foreign policy experts, have now forced the Prime Minister and the government to shift, and they're now at least talking about holding a commission or public inquiry that would do a deeper probe on what kind of influence China tries to exert in Canadian politics.
And Paul, finally, do these allegations concerning China tell us anything about China, how it sees other countries?
This story underscores concerns worldwide that the Chinese Communist Party is trying to exert influence among its diaspora, and that this reflects attempts for China to get other countries or other politicians in certain countries to champion their causes or at least put a chill on raising concerns about China.
And for its part, the Chinese government has long denied interfering in other countries' affairs. That was Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Vieira in Ottawa, Ontario. Paul, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
Thank you, Luke.
North Korea has tested what appears to be a long-range missile after the Kim Jong-un regime spent days expressing discontent toward the U.S. Kim's sister, Kim Yo-jung, has claimed that an American spy plane entered North Korea's self-proclaimed exclusive economic zone, while Washington and Seoul have said the flights were normal legal activity. North Korea's military has also taken offense at plans for a U.S. nuclear-armed submarine to visit a South Korean port for the first time in more than four decades. This latest missile launch comes as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, U.S. Army General Mark Milley, is due to travel to Tokyo and then Seoul this week. Extreme heat warnings are in place across the southern U.S., with temperatures forecast to break records this week. The National Weather Service has warned of triple-digit temperatures stretching from Florida to California. In Phoenix, temperatures reached 110 degrees Fahrenheit for the 12th consecutive day on Tuesday. The Weather Service has warned that the dangerous heat will continue to hit the south and southwest through the weekend. Negotiators trying to hammer out a global deal on how and where large tech companies are taxed have failed to reach an agreement this week. But as Journal reporter Patricia Kausman explains, tax officials are closer to a deal than ever and hope to reach one before the end of the year.
Big U.S. tech businesses can operate worldwide while concentrating their profits in their home countries or in countries with low tax regimes. And the populous countries, like the ones that are providing the customers and where these companies are making profits, they, of course, aren't satisfied. So these countries began discussing a global deal. You would relocate the taxation of some $200 billion in corporate profits across the world. That would involve about 100 of the world's biggest companies. So we're talking, you know, about a lot of money. And the idea is basically to divide the tax revenues among the countries.
For now, 138 jurisdictions have given the global tax deal their backing, while Canada, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Russia, and Belarus still oppose it. And U.S. lawmakers are demanding that telecom firms act quickly to ensure that Americans are safe after a journal investigation revealed that phone companies have left behind a network of cables covered in toxic lead. Democratic Senator Edward Markey has called the abandonment of the cables corporate irresponsibility of the worst kind and said that telecom companies need to mitigate any environmental and public health effects. Meanwhile, in the U.S. House, Democrat Patrick Ryan has said he's considering introducing legislation to remediate any contamination. In a response to concerns from lawmakers, trade group U.S. Telecom said the industry prioritizes health and safety and said that it hadn't seen evidence that what it called legacy lead-sheathed telecom cables were a leading cause of lead exposure or a cause of health issues. And finally, a few years back, signing up for a new monthly subscription maybe didn't feel like such a big deal. After all, what's $5 a month for a streaming service compared to a pricey cable package? But that mindset has changed, including at businesses, where Bell Lin, a reporter for the WSJ's CIO Journal, reports that tighter tech budgets are leading executives to question the traditional pay-what-you-use model for business software.
It's this idea of subscription creep. And so if you see an increase in your monthly Spotify bill or your monthly streaming service bill, that same thing can happen to a corporate technology leader at a company where at the scale you're paying a software provider, it could be tens of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And so a 20 or 30% increase is pretty drastic.
Facing budget-conscious customers, tech providers are increasingly pricing products and services using a so-called outcome-based or value-based pricing model, where costs might be tied to, say, increased revenue or customer growth. But Lin says that unpredictability in monthly charges isn't every CIO's cup of tea.
With a value or outcome-based model, depending on how well your business is doing or how much of whatever metric you're improving on, that can introduce financial risk even. And a CIO put this to me this way, if I'm a $100 billion business in revenue and my revenue goes up by $1 billion, 5% of that, oh, that's a lot of money.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show.
I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITHeroes.